Hey dudes, this is Michael, one of the co-hosts of Two Dudes in the Nest, the show you're about to listen to. If you are a first-time listener and you've picked one of these older episodes to listen to, maybe because it's one of your favorite games on the NES, I don't blame you. However, I just want to warn you that some of these episodes are 3, 4, maybe 5 years old. And this is before we got new audio equipment. This is really before we even knew what we were doing. But we want to leave them on the feed as long as we can because we want to have plenty of episodes for people to listen to. I just want to give a fair bit of warning before we get started. If you're an older listener and you're going back to listen to an episode again, you may hear something new because right before the episode starts here, we're going to have an advertisement, which is probably not what you heard the first time through. But now we started doing ads in our shows, so we're going to have an ad here. Anyways, I hope you enjoy. And if you do enjoy, please subscribe to the podcast and listen to as many episodes as you can. It always helps us out. And tell a friend too. That'd be nice. Enjoy the show. Hey, Justin.
What's up, man?
Yabba-dabba-doo!
I knew you were gonna do that.
Yeah,
I knew
it's
you were gonna do that.
Okay, yeah. Sorry. You wanna start over? It's so predictable,
No.
right? I mean, yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
Welcome to Two Dudes and an S. I'm Michael. This is Justin. We're discussing the Flintstones, the
Meet the
rescue
Flintstones.
of Dino and Hoppy. Is it Dino or is it Dino?
I always thought Dino.
Yeah, I think it's Dino. Pretty sure it's Dino. Now, let me
Dino's
just say.
Dino, I think, right?
Like
Because you got like
Dinobody?
a dynamometer.
Dynometer? Was that a medical thing?
No, it's the thing that they put cars on to
Oh,
see how
yeah,
much
the
torque they
dino
have.
machine. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But isn't Dino also dinosaur? Like dinosaur?
Yeah,
You
but
don't call
that's
it.
DI.
Yeah, but you don't call it a dinosaur.
That's true. I don't know.
Did you watch the
Doesn't he? I
Flintstones
mean,
much as a kid?
very little.
Yeah,
I
me
watched the
either.
movie.
Yeah. Hey, now let me just say before we get too into the thick of things here that I kind of did something mean on the last episode. I've been editing here recently because Justin's been out of town. And normally Justin, he's pretty nice. He'll put an easy song at the end for people to guess the next game. Well, I put the Jetsons theme song from the game, this game, as the song at the end of last game. It's the Flintstones, right? That we're talking about tonight. But in this game, you travel to the future, and the Jetsons theme song plays. So I put that at the end of last episode as just like a major throwing people off move.
Spoiler alert. Yeah.
So
I'm saying
anyways.
spoiler alert because you threw in the Jetson part before we got to that part.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't realize that was a big secret.
Yeah, no, it's probably not. It's not. Everything I'm going to think about Flintstones, I just think about that Homer Simpson song. Simpson. Homer Simpson. I don't remember that next line, but I just know the line. From the town of Springfield, he's about to hit a chestnut tree. He just runs into a tree.
Yeah, I love that song. It's a good one. Yeah, I can't. I don't know. The Flintstones had a song too, right? With words and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I can't ever think of the Flintstones at all because all I can ever think about is the Simpsons one.
I don't know that I really ever watched the Flintstones, to be honest. Like, I think I watched the Jetsons a little bit,
I
but
was always more of a
Flintstones.
Jetsons guy myself, too.
Yeah. Neither was a go-to cartoon for me.
No, I did not like Hanna-Barbera anything, really.
No, most of Hanna-Barbera sucks. And if you listen to the Adam Carolla podcast, you'll know that like he always talks about how bad they were.
Hanna-Barbera is like the Kmart of cartoons.
They were. So, sorry, anybody that works at Kmart? Is Kmart still a thing?
I don't. If they're part of Sears, but Sears is also going bankrupt. So if they are a thing, they're not a thing for very much longer.
I know the one in Sweetwater's gone. So.
Yeah, and the one in Maryville just recently shut down. And I talked
Oh,
to,
wow.
I think I talked to Nick Stevens, and he said he bought some stuff at Kmart,
not too long ago in like a closeout thing. So like West Virginia Kmarts are going away.
Yeah.
I don't think Kmart's going to be around much longer, if it is.
That's sad.
Eh, is it? Well, I was never a fan of Kmart. I always hated Kmart.
Yeah.
Now Sears will make me sad if something, if Sears legitimately goes away completely. That I'd be sad about that.
Yeah. Bought a lot of tools at Sears, and my lawnmower.
Me too.
So see, I'm trying to keep Sears alive.
Me too. I bought a lot of tools and my lawnmower Sears as well.
Yeah. So we're doing our part.
That's right. I just bought this past summer. I bought a bunch of parts for my lawnmower.
Yeah.
From Sears.
I need to buy a new, so I have the, you know, I have a new lawnmower, relatively new. It's like 2 years, maybe 3 years old, but it's all banged up because I wrecked it. Yeah, well, exactly. I wrecked the lawnmower.
Back up. We're gonna have to go hop in our time machine. Episode worthy here. Their time machine talk, and go back to find out how you wrecked your lawnmower.
Well, where I lived up in Tazewell, I had a yard that was had very steep hills, and I flipped it, rolled it, actually, it rolled it.
Wow.
Yeah, that was not fun. But anyway,
you know, when I lived in Loudoun, I thought that was going to happen all the time. You remember that hill in front? Mm-hmm. I always thought I was going to flip that thing. I eventually stopped riding it on the hill, not the front yard, but the side yard, that hill there, mm-hmm. where the tree bushes mm-hmm. and stuff were. I stopped riding. I just started pushing and weed eating there just because.
Yeah, I had, there was a hill like that there in Tazewell that was real steep. I never even tried to mow it. And that was not the one that I rolled it on. I rolled it on the other hill. But anyway, I just weed eated the whole hill, which was terrible. That yard was such a pain. But anyway.
So you were saying you were going somewhere with that.
I was just saying my lawnmower needs work because it needs a lot of body work because it's got a bunch of just problems there, and it has a hole in the muffler because I guess where the body was like hanging down, it pulled the muffler, so the muffler like came loose. And so now it sounds like I'm mowing my yard with a Harley Davidson.
Hey, that's not bad, right?
Yeah.
Sound like Tim the Toolman Taylor.
Right, right. I've been thinking, I don't know if Floyd does any welding, but I could just ride it down there, see if he'll weld the muffler back on there.
That's true. You're pretty close to him now.
I just ride it down there.
I don't know if he does welding or not.
Yeah, I don't either. He doesn't. Man, he doesn't do any body work, so I don't know.
Nah, I think you're out of luck with Floyd.
Yeah.
Although he could probably tell you all about what you need to do.
Exactly. and it'll be in a partly shaming way.
Oh, yeah, of course, of course. Floyd being pulling a Carl's dad, which we talked about on a previous episode.
And we talked about him shaming you for your yard.
That he did. He totally shamed me for my yard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Flintstones.
Flintstones, that's right.
So, you want to talk about some history?
I would love to talk about some history.
Well, there's not much history to this game, but it was released late in the Nintendo cycle by a company called Taito.
Is that like a baked Taito?
A Taito? No, it's a video game company stationed out of Japan that brought you arcade games such as Space Invaders and Bubble Bobble.
I feel like I made that baked potato joke on
the Bubble Bobble episode.
Yeah, it must have been the Bubble Bobble episode.
Speaking of Bubble Bobble episode, was that the last time we talked to Mario? Yeah, it was. They ate him.
Bub and Bob took out Soundboard Mario, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. And Luigi's still mad about that.
We need to bring one of those guys back. Of course, not Mario, obviously.
Yeah, Luigi.
Yeah, we have to figure out how to bring somebody like that back on the show.
Yeah, yeah. So, but yeah, so it was released by Taito. to fairly good reviews. GamePro did a pretty good spread on it, which I have pulled up here to show you. Here. Just a second. Great pod.
This is good. Hey, we're doing video again, so...
Share screens. All right. All right, can you see it?
I see it. Oh,
don't look at Treasure Master. Don't look at Treasure Master. Let's flip the page here. Where's the page flipper? Uh-oh. There we go. There it is. The Nintendo Pro review. And so, if you look here at GamePro, did you ever buy any GamePros in there?
Oh, I loved GamePro. I loved because of, what's his name? I forget the name of that guy, but he got really, he's either excited or not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, as you can see, oh, shoot.
No, again. Not that. Oh, Sega Genesis.
Swap your old Nintendo games for cash or new titles. There you go.
I remember wanting to do that, too. I remember looking through that and thinking, mm-hmm. Oh, man, I got so many games.
But to just go through the GamePro's game rating system here. So, they've got this guy, you remember? Very excited means good. Mm-hmm. Right? And so, gameplay and fun factor got very exciting. Challenging and graphics got exciting. And then, sound got just okay. Yeah.
Spoilers for the game talk.
Well, I'm just giving you the GamePro ratings. That doesn't mean anything for your rating, right?
Maybe, maybe not. We'll see.
Right. Anyway, it's a pretty interesting review. You can look it up online. You can, I guess, just read every GamePro ever, like online.
Sweet. Where did you find that?
It's on a website called archive.org.
Archive. Yeah, that's good.
Pulled up this issue of GamePro for us. So, but let me just stop sharing here. So you can see my face.
Thank you for bringing me your face back. So
but anyway.
Really not, is there anything else history-wise here?
No, I was just going to say it was released, like I said, late in the Nintendo cycle. In North America, it was released in December 1991. It was not released in Japan until August of 1992. But I think all of America's stuff just doesn't come to... just goes to Japan late, right?
Yeah.
It's an Americanized game. I mean, this is a very American game.
Yeah, well, the Flintstones is kind of like it's a very American thing. It's from, what, the 60s, maybe?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had to look that up because Flintstones, 1960, September 30th, 1960.
Hey, I got one question, though. We were bashing Hanna-Barbera earlier, okay? Mm-hmm. This is way off the Flintstones topic, but was the Encyclopedia Britannica guy Hanna-Barbera? Because if he was, that totally redeems the whole thing.
Oh, I don't know.
Remember him? He was
Encyclopedia.
He was the salesman, and he came to the door, and that was like the only thing he would say. He would go, "Encyclopedia Britannica."
Let's see.
I think it was maybe was it Tex Avery? Was that his name? Nah, I don't know.
I don't see it. It's not coming up. I just like a Google search.
It doesn't matter. We'll just be sitting here spinning our wheels trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal.
But anyway, that's about it. Did you find this game or go looking for this game or have this game from...
This game I got in the... I've mentioned this lot that I got before. The UT guy that took off to some other country.
Oh, yeah?
This was in that box. So, I have had this game for about 10 years now. Something like that. I wish that this was the other Flintstones game, which we'll maybe talk about one day, that some people may have been confused about, because they're basically the same game, but the one that the Blockbuster exclusive, the other Flintstones game for the NES, it's worth bukus of money. That would have been nice, but
yeah.
No, it's just this one. So, yeah, I've had it for a while. Didn't really go on a big quest, but, you know, it's a segment that we've been over time and time again, And I usually never have anything good to say anyways, so. Probably a segment we should probably just stop doing. But sometimes it's interesting. Usually it's not.
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes.
This is one where we can tell people to go listen to our back episodes for, because you can get that story in another episode. I don't remember what episode it is, because I've used that story at least 4 or 5 times now. But
yeah. Yeah. It's, you could just start saying UT. We'll
UT go guy. With it. It's like neighbor kid and UT guy. And then have we talked about any of the Marvel guy games yet?
I don't believe so.
Okay,
no.
Okay. Well, we will eventually. But there was a Marvel guy that I used to buy games from too. That was selling off. He had almost a complete set, and just one day just decided he just wanted to start selling off his collection. And it was really cool. We'll get into that on another episode. But he was a really nice guy, and he did not want to He didn't want to sell them expensively. He didn't want to sell them cheaply. And he also did not want to sell them to resellers. So he was very particular about who he sold them to. It was really pretty cool. Yeah. But we'll get into that whenever we get to one of those games.
Okay, so Donovan Freeberg was the man who did the Encyclopedia Britannica. Commercials.
Yeah, it wasn't a commercial, it was a cartoon.
Yeah, he also did voiceovers for The Littles, which I don't think it was not a Hanna-Barbera. I don't know, man. I can't get this to work out for you.
It's okay. Maybe I just dreamed the whole entire thing.
Cannot pull it up. Maybe at some point we'll get it. Was it a commercial?
No, it was a cartoon. It was like an episode of a cartoon.
Hmm.
Am I the only person that's seen this? Okay, this may be our opportunity. We have, a tenth of a percent of the entire country that listens to this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So, or less than that, probably, actually, but somebody out there, please tell me I'm not going crazy and imagining this guy. He was a little short guy. He came to the door. He was a door-to-door salesman of Encyclopedia Britannica. It was a cartoon. I think it seems to me that it was a Hanna-Barbera style. You know what I mean? It definitely was not Looney Tunes. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it was Warner Brothers and Looney Tunes the same thing. Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah. I don't know. Don't know.
It's okay.
Is Encyclopedia Britannica still a thing?
I doubt it. I think Wikipedia probably pretty well stomped that.
Do we need encyclopedias anymore?
No, I don't know. What do you think?
It is still a thing. You can just buy your subscription on the internet. Or you can buy, I guess, let's see, Encyclopedia Britannica. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you this. It's probably similar to what we've got at work for our book of standard, lab test standard, right? They've got the actual books that you can have.
MSDS, right?
Well, that's different, but yes.
Okay.
And so they got the books that you can get. But they've also got online versions of those PDFs or whatever. And you can buy like a dual subscription where you get the book and you get it online or, you know, that kind of thing. By the way, you may not know this because you're not in the chemistry lab realm type stuff anymore. But did you know that it's not MSDS anymore? It's SDS.
No more materials?
Mm-mm. It's just safety data.
Oh my god!
They got rid of the M.
Wow.
In an effort to more streamline them or something. I don't remember.
Well, that'd make a big difference.
You know it will.
That's going to change the whole game.
That's what whenever they came out with it several years ago, I thought, game changer, right there. I feel so much safer.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Oh well. All right, so you want to talk about the game itself a little bit, maybe?
Sure. What'd you think of this game? What do you think? So this game, you could say, you could bring us up something.
You're right, I could do that.
You could do it, and I knew you were going to.
If you're watching the video, behind the scenes video, you just saw what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It is the manual. iPad version of the manual, but nonetheless, the manual. So, the Flintstones, the rescue of Dino and Hoppy. You want the story first?
Let's get the story. I need the story.
30th century dinosaur thief. Fred Flintstone and his wife, Wilma, lived ages and ages ago during the Stone Age. Their neighbors were Betty and Barney Rubble, and the two families were close friends. The Flintstones and the Rubbles lived at the edge of Bedrock, a booming town made from tons of stone, with their pets, Dino the dinosaur and Hoppy the Hopposaurus. Whatever a Hopposaurus is, it looks like a little kangaroo. Now, let me pause here and go on a tangent.
Okay.
This is for you, Chris Vanderhoff. So, you remember back when I said I'd never watch Game of Thrones, but now here I am watching some Game of Thrones?
Mm-hmm.
Well, my biggest issue so far with Game of Thrones is Sean Bean. His name kills me. It's Sean Bean or Sean Bolin. Okay? And now here we have Dino the Dinosaur. Should be Dino the Dinosaur or Dino the Dinosaur.
Makes no sense.
Yeah. I cannot stand it when the name looks the same and is pronounced. Anyway, just a small little tangent about things that irk me. It is Sean Bean, right? Why would you have...
I don't know.
Maybe it is Sean Bean or Sean Bond.
Sean Bond?
Sean Bond.
I like Sean Bond.
Yeah. Bond. Sean Bond. Anyways, one day, unfortunately, the nasty Dr. Turner arrived in Bedrock. He was a time traveler from the 30th century. That's a long ways from now.
Yeah, really.
Who had come to collect dinosaurs. After nabbing Dino and Hoppy, he returned to his own time and put them in a zoo. To get them back, Fred must help Gazoo, an alien friend, rebuild Gazoo's time machine. Then they'll go after Dr. Turner to get Dino and Hoppy back, no matter what it takes.
Turner Howard. Hey, you know, you've seen that commercial?
The lawyer, yeah. Well, that's funny. So, it says Dr. Turner here in the manual, but I swear it said Dr. Butler in the game, didn't it?
It is Dr. Butler in the game.
I don't know why they do that sometimes.
Yeah. I didn't
even think about that. That's the gist of the story, okay? So you're trying to go through all these different levels of the game to get the pieces of the time machine so that you can travel to the future and get your pets back.
Right. Do we know why Dr. Butler wants Dino and Hoppy?
I guess because he's just wanting to put him in the zoo so people come check him out. He's basically the guy from Jurassic Park.
Okay. So he just wants dinosaurs.
Yeah, he just wants dinosaurs.
So he's got a couple of pets.
Yeah, exactly. He ain't got their pets to be dinosaurs in the future at a zoo for people to come check out. Now, why he didn't do the fossilized amber thing, I don't know. But,
seems like that would have been easier in the 30th century. I think by the 30th century, we should be able to just,
3D print a dinosaur?
Yeah, we'll just make a dinosaur.
Yeah.
We'll just, be able to, piece all the DNA together to make a dinosaur. Right?
It wouldn't surprise me to be able to do that by the time the 30th century rolls around.
We'll have already mapped out the billions of, DNA that we'll need.
Mm-hmm. I think you'll be able to pretty much make anything you want by then.
Yeah. Really. Yeah.
All right. So, let's see. So the game, the way the game works is a side-scroller. Kind of reminds you a little bit loosely of maybe Super Mario Brothers 3 kind of deal. You've got a club you can smack people with. You also, it also has kind of a Castlevania vibe because you can pick up sub-weapons where you press up and B and he throws them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got like an overworld thing, kind of like Super Mario Bros. 3.
Right.
It's side-scrolling. You know, that's it. That's basically what it is.
It's platforming.
Side-scrolling platformer. That's right.
Blah-blah-blah. Shoo-blah-blah.
Shablah-blah-doo.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Flintstones. Yeah. That's the theme song.
Yabba-dabba-doo.
Shlabba-dabba-doo-ba. That's what he says all the time.
He's a ska master.
Fred and Barney, masters of ska.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They invented it, actually.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so the one unique mechanic in this game that I really did not like at all, to be honest with you, is the climbing, like the hanging, swinging thing where you jump and grab.
Yeah.
It just did not work out. It just didn't really work for me. I couldn't figure out really how to do it consistently.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you.
Yeah, I did not like the controls really at all, to be honest. Like, it just didn't feel like the jumping was just seemed like it was more or less. I don't like characters that just don't feel like they get a lot of airtime, you know? And that's just, it's hard to describe. It really
is. Fred is very sluggish.
It's sluggish. There you go. Perfect.
So just like the Flintstones, you look at the Flintstones. Fred's a, he's a portly dude, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he feels like that in the game. He doesn't really move super fast.
Right.
He doesn't jump very high.
When he jumps, you have to grab on to stuff and pull yourself up.
So he feels kind of like a big guy. Like you're controlling a bigger guy. Which I guess is maybe what they were going for, but I'm with you. I'm not a huge fan of it. It just doesn't really feel very good. The club, your main weapon, it's cool to have a main weapon like that, but the reach is really short. You have to get right up on top of the enemies to hit them.
Sure.
So I kind of...
You got the bandits that just shoot you.
Yeah. Now, the sub-weapons help.
Mm-hmm.
That helps.
Sure.
Slingshot and the... You use slingshot, axe, bomb. Mm-hmm. I can't think of what else.
Yeah. I think that's it, right?
That might be it. Yeah, that might be it.
Yeah.
So those help, but still, you know.
Yeah. But,
Did I mention this is a Patreon pick from Dude Gale?
You have in the past, but not on this episode.
Okay, well, this is a Patreon pick from Dude Gale, and we appreciate the Patreon pick, Gale. Hopefully, you won't be too disappointed in us.
Right.
So, I'm with you on the controls. I'm not a big fan.
Yeah.
The game itself is... that's the only word I can come up with.
Okay, so... in a way, there's not a whole lot to it. So... you know, like the bad guys that you generally face in the levels are, I'll give them the sprites are done well, the graphics look good, but there's not a whole lot to
them. The graphics of this game look awesome. I thought the graphics were great.
But there's not a whole lot to the bad guys, right? Yeah. There's just not a whole lot that they do. They're all kind of almost the same, just different characters.
Yeah, this game feels more—it's more geared towards the platforming. It feels like to
definitely.
Me. And the bad guys are just kind of there,
right? To be a nuisance.
Yeah, they're there to be a nuisance. Exactly, like the pterodactyls.
Mm-hmm.
Those are like super annoying.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of knockback when you get hit that I'm usually not a fan of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
man, really bashing this game.
Yeah, I know, but I don't think that this game was bad. I think it was still fun. Was still fun. The platforming aspect was fun, even though I would have liked for Fred to have been a little less sluggish. I do think it was fun. The levels.
There's some unique elements to the platforming too, like the you can get on the wood with the lever system.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about, and you can hit it with your club. and mm-hmm. it sends you flying in the air, that kind of stuff.
Right. Right.
The hanging is unique. There's a lot unique of games where that happens.
Yeah, I can't really think of one that came before it that really had that.
Kabuki Quantum Fighter just had a little bit of hanging, didn't it?
Okay. I don't know. I honestly don't remember. All I remember about that game is your hair.
Yeah. That episode is still my favorite intro, like beginning of an episode that we've ever done. The Kabuki Quantum Fighters.
I don't even remember what we did. What did we do?
Well, it was one of the only episodes where we didn't intro with the music. We introed with us talking. At some point one of us said, Kabuki Quantum Fighter, and then like the music kicked in. I thought it was pretty
good. Oh, well, yeah. I think I do remember that now.
You have to go back and listen to it, because it's still one of our better intro, with the exception of things being a skit, because some of the skits that we did in the past, which we never do anymore. Sorry to anybody who liked those.
Nobody
some of those
liked
were good,
those.
But other than the... Yeah, nobody liked them. That's why we couldn't do them. The only skits that people liked are the ones that Rob Luther wrote for us whenever he was on episodes.
Yeah, but he's retired or something now. I don't know.
Yeah. So, anyways. But the Kabuki Quantum Fighter, people need to go back and listen to the intro of that episode, because I still like it. Now, the audio quality in general on that episode is not great, because we didn't have our new microphones and all that stuff that we have now.
Mm-hmm.
And the format's completely different. I think that was before we changed formats. So
we were just winging it.
Yeah, we're just winging it. We also were terrible at talking on microphones back then, I'm pretty sure. So it's really not a good episode, but listen to at least the first minute, because it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Now, something super unique about this game, my favorite part about this game, actually, is the basketball.
Yeah, that's pretty fun.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
It's a fun mini game.
I was not expecting that at all, to be honest.
No.
I went into this game pretty cold. Didn't like look anything mm-hmm. up really when I first played it. And so when I started playing it and I got to the basketball court, and all of a sudden this guy, this other caveman man, was just ready to play basketball.
Hardhead Harry is apparently his name.
Ah, nice. Now, see, I thought it was going to be soccer at first.
It does look... I thought it was going to be volleyball. It looked like a volleyball to me.
The ball looks like a volleyball, but there's no net, so I don't know how
that... Yeah, that's true. That's true. But then you start playing basketball. My only complaint about that was there seemed to be a whole lot of flicker during the basketball scenes.
Yeah, I did notice that.
There was a lot of flicker during basketball.
It almost feels like the graphics and stuff in this game, everywhere else is great. Mm-hmm. It almost feels like they kind of tacked on the basketball, but mm-hmm. kind of got lucky with the way that the mechanics stuff worked. It was pretty fun.
I think that, I'll say the flicker is my problem with it, but it's not a big problem. It's not something that I would say that I would bash the game for. Other than
The manual says that the law here is no ambulance, no foul.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And dirty play is practically the rule of the court.
And the flicker will actually, at certain times, if you steal the ball from Hardhead Harry,
yeah,
or as they refer to him in the game, enemy, he will actually just disappear for a second.
Nice.
Then he goes back. So.
And did you notice what the basketball goals are?
Oh, yeah, they're pelicans.
Yeah, they're like pelicans with a big, huge bottom jaw. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, and they spit it back out.
Yep.
So, how do they get those pelicans to sit there?
I don't know. They feed them, I guess.
Basketballs. They spit them back out. Cause
they must taste like that. Fish.
Yeah.
It's a fishy basketball.
But why do they spit them back out? Because they realize it's basketball?
Yeah, well, they think it's fish, and once they get it in their mouth, like, well, this ain't fish.
So we went on a beach trip one time, and we went out and did one of those pier fishing deals, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we bought like a pack of shrimp to fish with, to the bait that they sold you. And we set it like just on the side there on the pier. And oh, there were pelicans. Those pelicans are mean. Birds, you know, they're not very kind. And then it was constantly trying to steal the shrimp. Like, we'd shoo it away, and then, like, a few minutes later, he'd be back over there, like, doing the head turn, like, trying to get a shrimp with his beak. But, yeah.
Kind of like geese?
No, yeah, geese are bad, too.
Is it like the geese of the ocean?
Yeah, they're the geese of the ocean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've never really been around a lot of pelicans, so.
That was my first and only experience. And
are they big? How big are they?
They're fairly big. They're like a geese size, but their head's bigger, okay. Of course, because they got that big thing.
Yeah.
But,
okay, so they're definitely the geese of the ocean.
Yeah, they're the geese of the ocean. Once you feed them, you're not getting rid of them.
What about the poo for Josh?
I don't know. I don't know about pelican poop. Goose poop. It can't be worse than goose poop.
I don't know. They're eating fish.
That's true. Here's another poop story. So I went running the other day here in, actually yesterday, here in North Carolina.
And did you poop yourself?
Well, you know, I'm not much of a stickler about people's dogs. Like picking up people's, you know, the poop from like a park or something.
Wait, hold on. You said you're not a big stickler for people's dogs picking up people poop?
No, people's dogs pooping and then like,
oh yeah, okay.
You know, if I see somebody's dog pooping in a park or something and they don't pick it up, I'm only like, well, that's not very nice, but I'm not going to go over there and berate them, you know, for doing that. But when your dog poops on the sidewalk,
at least kick it in the grass, right?
You need to do something with it. Kick it in the road, kick it in the sidewalk, kick it somewhere. If you can't pick it up, do something with it. That made me so mad. There was like several turds on the sidewalk where I was running. And I'm like, what kind of person does this?
I don't know. Well, let me tell. Well, actually, I can tell you exactly what kind of person does this. And hopefully my neighbor doesn't listen to me, doesn't listen to this podcast. But, you know, I've talked about my next door neighbor before and their crazy dogs. Have I?
Yeah.
Surely I have on the podcast. Yeah. Okay, okay. Oh, this. Oh, it's the same ones that with the puppy in the garage too.
Yeah.
Anyways,
right.
Okay. So today I'm taking Teeter out, just to pee. You know, whatever you do. I got her on a leash. You know, we're out in the yard because I don't have a fence. I always take her out on a leash because that's the law.
But sure.
Anyways, so I'm out there and he comes out of his house. His
the dog
comes,
or the person?
The both. Well, because the man opens the door. He's coming out to check his mail or get something out of his truck or something. The dog comes sprinting out the front door because, you know, that's what the dog does. It just always runs wild.
Right. Okay?
So it's coming over. It's barking at me and Teeter. I look over at the man and he goes, I think the dog's name is Spike or something like that. He goes, come back, Spike. And then he turns around and goes back in the house. And I'm just standing there like, what the?
With
what are
the
you
dog?
Doing?
So
the dog's still standing in front of me, barking at me. He goes, the guy comes out, he snows the dog, runs out in front of him.
Yeah.
And he just goes, come back, Spike. And the man turns around and walks back in his house.
Nice. Leaves the dog out there.
Just leaves the dog. The dog just running around the neighborhood, crapping in everybody's yard.
Oh, man.
And here's the funniest part of this whole story. That's not the first time this happened. His wife did the same thing to me like 6 months ago.
Just let
the dog out and then just kind of looked over at the dog running around the neighborhood and goes, come back, Spike. And then turns around and walks back in the house.
Well, if Spike does come back, is he on his own to get in the door?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah,
whenever it happens, I just look at him. I kind of do the shruggy move, you know, and kind of look at him and say with my body mannerisms, what the heck is your problem? Come get your dog. This is ridiculous.
Is it a big dog or a little dog?
No, it's a little min pin.
Oh God.
That's meaner than snot. It's just.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to come down to me kicking it or something, because it always comes over and barks at Teeter and I, and I always have to scoop her up off the ground and hold her in my arms because I don't want her getting in a fight. And so I usually, what I'll do is I'll scoop her up and I'll take her back inside, and then I'll go back out to try to rein the dog in a little bit and get him at least away from my house.
Well,
I just don't understand it. And
yeah,
they build a fence, so just let the dog in the backyard.
Yeah,
you have it where it's fenced in. I don't know. Anyway,
maybe they're trying to get rid of it.
maybe they want me to like kill it. Because yeah. It seriously could come down to that. If this continues, and if he ever does anything like seriously mean to Teeter or something, then that dog's done for. And maybe that's what they want.
Maybe.
Now I'm on record saying this. If anything happens to the dog, I'm screwed. I'm sued.
Right.
I need to take out a better insurance policy.
Right.
You know, I wouldn't do that to a dog. Allegedly.
Right.
I would never hurt him. I would never hurt a dog. Even a mean, nasty one like that.
Yeah. Your temperaments are just... I don't know.
Yeah. Anyways. Okay, so back to the game. Did you know that you could have wings and flippers and a little dinosaur?
Yeah, if you beat win in the basketball.
So yeah, forget Red Bull. Just win a game of basketball. That'll give you wings.
Right. I always knew it.
Yep. So... that's cool. It's kind of like the wings from Super Mario.
Yeah.
Sort of.
So you can actually skip the basketball. Like, you don't have to play basketball.
You don't have to do it.
But you don't get those things if you don't play basketball.
Exactly.
So you need to play basketball.
Plus, it's fun. It's one of the better parts of the game.
I think so, too. So.
The only thing that could make it better is if you could play two-player basketball. And I don't know if you can or not. I didn't notice any way of doing it.
I doubt it, but yeah, that would be pretty sweet.
This game, I'm pretty sure it predates NBA Jam, right?
Yeah, but
okay,
it's
but
a
it
lot
feels,
like...
It feels like NBA Jam.
It is.
There may even be a retrofitted achievement similar to something like NBA Jam.
They should have just scrapped it and made a Flintstones basketball game.
That would be awesome, actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They could have done that so easily, too.
Yeah.
Because they've already basically got the game.
Right. Now you just one-on-one basketball. Which NBA Jam, you know, did good with two-on-two, but I think one-on-one is a pretty sweet gig.
Yeah, I don't know. Did you play... there was an NES game that was one-on-one basketball. I can't remember what it was. Was it Jordan versus Bird, maybe?
Yeah.
It was terrible.
Yeah. That's
spoilers,
you can't really compare it. But anyway, so what about the, so we talked about the graphics. We love the graphics.
Yeah, we in agreement that the graphics were great. I mean, one thing we didn't talk about is, I didn't play this as a kid. Did you play it as a kid?
No.
All right, moving on. Okay, so the graphics, yeah, great. Agreed. I like the graphics. It's very cartoony. It really fits the Flintstones vibe
perfectly.
It's perfect. Mm-hmm. The graphics are perfect.
Mm-hmm.
What about the sound and the music?
I'm gonna actually have to go further than Game Bro did and say that I didn't like the music at all. It was a little annoying.
The music to me in this game was like somebody taking a nail and just like scratching it on the chalkboard.
I eventually actually muted it.
Yeah, I did too. And it sucks because I mean I know somebody probably worked really hard on it, but.
Yeah.
Just, the music just was not doing it for me. Other than
it was too
the theme songs.
Yeah.
The theme songs worked for me. Like, you know, the Jetsons and the Flintstones. But other than that, I could take it or leave it with the music.
Everything else was very high-pitched.
Yeah, it did seem really high-pitched. What was up with that?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's what you probably think made it annoying.
Yeah, there wasn't enough mid-range and low-end noise. And it was all treble.
All about that treble. No, all about that bass.
I'm all about that bass.
No treble.
No treble. No treble. That's a timely reference, huh?
Oh, God. All right, I'm still trying to figure out what they're talking about in this song.
They're talking about the booty, right?
I guess. I thought, but maybe not. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe. Could be that booty.
Maybe the girl just likes playing stand-up bass.
Yeah. Boom, 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 boom. That's the stand up.
Yeah. Right, there you go.
There we go.
Okay, I like good stand-up bass guy that just like slapping it and, you know, really getting into it. Uses it as a percussion instrument as well as a bass.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's always the best way to go. Have you ever been to a concert or something where the stand-up bass guy is also an acrobat?
No.
Okay. There's a guy. He's a friend of Slapper Bags. And I can't remember his name off the top of my head. Or the name of his band for some reason. I can't remember either one. But he's got a band. He's really good. They're good, and he's good at bass. But he also would spin his bass a lot and climb on top of it while he's playing it and stuff. It's the craziest thing. It's entertaining.
Then he's Slapper Bags, right?
Oh, yeah. Does that not make sense?
Interesting.
Actually, I think he's Lenore's friend. But since they're married, he gets to be Slapper Bags' friend, too.
Yeah. Slapper Bags just had a birthday.
He did. Happy birthday, Slapper Bags. I know you don't listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
If you did, we probably wouldn't be able to get away with calling you Slapper Bags as much as we do.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
So let's round it out here. What about, is it fun? Is it worth it? How much to go for?
So that really is about $15 buy on eBay. So you're gonna have to fork out 3/4 of a 20.
Whoa. 3/4 of a 20, huh?
Yeah. So
it's a very strange way to put that.
Yeah. You know, I'm gonna say I'm not sure I'm gonna go for that. 15.
Yeah. It's hard for me because it is fun. Okay, I'll say this: if you're a big Flintstones fan,
yeah,
I don't know a lot. I don't know a lot of big Flintstones fans. I've not met a lot of Flintstones fans, but I'm sure they're out there. Mm-hmm. If you're a Flintstones fan, this is definitely not a bad licensed game for the Nintendo about the Flintstones.
Yeah,
it kind of has a little bit of an Adventure Island vibe too. I think mainly I just get that because the way Fred walks around the screen with it high stepping.
Yeah.
But no, $15 is a little steep for this game for me, especially considering some of the alternatives. But yeah, with that being said, if you want a Flintstones game, this is it, unless you want to fork over a ton of money on the NES.
Right. That's
for
true.
A Flintstones game. And that other game, which I've never played it, never even demoed it, but it looks the same as this one.
Yeah.
So the only reason to get that other one would be for the collector factor.
Right.
Otherwise, just get this one.
Which is just rare, essentially, because they just didn't produce a lot, right? Because it just came out late in the...
We'll talk about it when we get to that episode. But it was made just for Blockbuster or something. So it was never even released to the public. You could only rent it at their stores. So once their stores closed and they start selling off those games, then that's when you start to get them, but... Until then, nobody can buy them.
Hmm.
So very limited supply. At least I think that's the story. I'm sticking to it.
Yeah. Did you like the movie The Flintstones?
No, not really.
I know somebody will hate it.
Somebody will hate it?
Mm-hmm. Somebody hates it.
Who's that?
Donald Trump.
Donald Trump hates The Flintstones movie?
Because of Rosie O'Donnell. Rosie O'Donnell's in the movie.
Yeah, I don't like Rosie O'Donnell either.
Yeah. She's not funny. I've never found anything she's ever done funny.
She's not funny. Actually, take it back. There was one thing I saw her in that was funny, and that was Curb Your Enthusiasm, where she played herself, and the only reason she was funny is because Larry David made the situation funny.
Yeah.
So.
And apparently she's a very mean person.
She's mean?
Yeah, you not remember like all that crap about like she was mean to everybody that worked for her when she had that talk show?
I believe it, but I don't remember.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway.
So.
What's next?
How are we going to rate this game?
That's a good question.
Top of dinosaur?
Is that two on the nose?
I think it's two on the nose.
Okay.
How about... I don't know.
Great pod.
Yeah, real good pod. We always think of these, you know, on the spot.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes we do really good, though, when we think of them like that, you know? Most of the time we don't.
Type of rock.
Okay, type of rock. Yeah, I can go with that.
Okay. I'm going to go with a river stone.
Okay.
Because a river stone, it's smooth, it's pretty, it can be used for decorative, but it's not the best rock, it's not the prettiest rock. But it's nice to have around, maybe in your flower beds.
Okay. Alright, let's see. So you went with river rock. I'm going to go with... a lava rock.
Okay.
Because it's cool looking, but it's not very practical. You can't like make things out of it, really.
Right.
So like this game looks good, and it's nice to have around, I guess, because it's somewhat fun to play with. Just like lava rocks are fun to play with. But they're not super useful either, unless you're eating a mojajete at the Mexican restaurant.
A mojajete?
You never had a mojajete?
I have never had a mojajete.
Do you ever go eat at the Mexican restaurant?
Which one?
Any of them, I guess.
Well, I mean, I've never seen that.
Do they have
them
in Philadelphia?
No, but...
come to Lenore City.
Taco Loco. Taco Loco is my place.
In Loudoun?
Yeah, I love Taco Loco.
It used to be my
Loco.
Place until they changed management. Do they still have the Hirachas there? Next time you go there, ask them if they still make the Hirachas.
Best thing about that place is they have a great salsa bar with all these different kinds of salsa. Just phenomenal. Just great.
Okay, well, let me just tell you. Casa Fiesta in Lenore City has an awesome taco or salsa bar as well. And they bring to your table chips... of course, like everybody, but not just chips and salsa. They bring you chips and salsa and chips and a cup of refried beans with the queso in it. Just as like an appetizer for free.
Wow.
You don't get multiple cups of it, but you get at least one.
That's nice.
They also do pitchers of Dos Equis for reasonable prices. And they have a mojajete, which is what I'm trying to tell you about.
Well, tell me about the mojajete.
Okay, so the mojajete is a lava bowl. I don't know if it's a real lava rock. I doubt it, but it's a hot bowl, right? And in this hot bowl, they put every different kind of meat that they have. Exactly. Gasp. So you get a little steak, you get a little chicken, you get a little chorizo, you get a little ground beef, you get a little bit of all the different meats.
So I had something similar to that. It wasn't in a lava bowl. It was in a pineapple.
Yeah.
A hollowed out pineapple.
Did you, was it at Mead Jalisco or whatever? This
was up in Kentucky.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I've had that too, but it's pretty good. I like it better in the lava bowl because everything stays hot, steamy. And it comes out sizzling too.
So nice. Good. I love Mexican restaurants because it's all just, everything's just sizzling. The plates are always steaming hot.
They're always like, hot plate, hot plate. You got to wear gloves.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I think it's just because they stick them in the oven, right? Everything's the same. All the food's the same. It's just put together differently.
Right. It's like Taco Bell. Taco Bell, every menu item that Taco Bell serves is the same. It's just a variety of the same.
Right.
And they named it something different.
But that's the way all the Mexican food is.
Well, I guess.
We call it Mexican food. But most of the Mexican restaurants in Lenore City, I don't think they're Mexican owned. I think most of the people in Lenore City are like from Honduras or something, maybe.
Oh, really?
Or at least
that's
a few, the few that I talked to were actually from like Honduras or Nicaragua, maybe some places like that. They're not actually from Mexico. How's that for interesting?
That is interesting. All right.
All right. Moving on. We'll cut that out.
You don't have to.
No, I'm not going to.
Yeah.
I just like to say that.
Yeah. So.
What was that?
Was that Mario?
No, I think that was Yoshi.
Oh.
Hey.
What is Yoshi doing?
I don't know. Where is he? Do you see him?
He heard we were talking about dinosaurs. Dino's his best friend.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're probably right. Yoshi, are you around? Hi. He just licked me.
Yeah.
Oh. Good. We got a little visit from a little soundboard Yoshi.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, who was it that was always honest, like hated soundboard Mario so much? It was one of the honorary dudes out there, which just hated soundboard Mario. I do not remember. Oh, there's Yoshi.
Oh, he's out of here.
See you, Yoshi. I think it was Dude Jorgensen. Oh! Alright. That's enough of that.
Alrighty.
How about some retrofitted achievements?
Alright. Got a couple.
I do too. Can I go first?
Sure.
Because I got a really good one, and I don't want you to steal it.
Okay.
It's called He's Heating Up! And that is score 2 baskets at the basketball game without the enemy scoring any.
Nice. All right, my first one is Down Goes the Purple People Eater, and that is beat the first boss, which is like a purple dinosaur.
Oh yeah, we didn't even mention there are bosses. I kind of like the bosses.
The bosses are good.
They're kind of easy-ish. The ones that I can recall were kind of easy, but they're pretty cool. All right, I like that one.
Yeah.
I've got another one called 10 Million Strong and Growing.
Flintstones Vitamin?
Yeah, that is earn 10 million lives. I don't think you can do that. I think that's about impossible. But you can get extra lives in this game. So if you get 10 million of them, you get that achievement.
Nice. My next one is Disappearing Act. And that is steal the ball from the enemy on basketball and he disappears for a second.
Okay. All right. And the way you steal the ball is you hit him with your butt.
Yeah, which is awesome. So
we could actually have a trophy called Butt Stuff or something.
Yeah.
We're just stealing the ball.
Butt tap.
Butts up.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that it? Remember that game? Butts up.
No, I don't remember the game Butts Up.
It sounds dirty.
Must have been something.
Is that something? Never mind, I can't go there. All right. No, Butts Up was a game where you took a tennis ball and you threw it against the wall and you threw it and then it bounced off the wall and somebody else had to catch it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then if the person dropped it, they had to go stand on the wall and you got to hit them with the tennis ball.
Yeah.
That was Butts Up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're family friendly, remember?
Right. I know. Right.
Okay. Let's see. I think that's all I've got. I was going to try to come up with one for Yabba Dabba Doo, but...
Another one, flip you on your head, and that is beat the second boss, which is like this caveman-like guy. And when you beat him, he just goes, he's like standing on his head.
He's and actually the breakdancer guy from Paperboy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a crossover.
I wanted to come up with something regarding George Jetson and his cameo appearance in the final stage, but couldn't think of anything. But I'll tell you about George. It's really funny because it's like, I wish I could help you. The conversation with George, because it's like, I wish I could help you, but I got work to do at work. I could help you save, your animals and, whatever, but I gotta get back to the grindstone. just gotta go to work.
Yeah, that typical George. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's always working, and his boss is always yelling at him. Jetson!
I know.
Yeah, what a jerk.
Yeah.
That could be a trophy when you get to that level. It's just Jetson, it's the name of it.
There you go. All right. What else we got?
Feedback.
I guess some Facebook feedback pulled up here somewhere. Here it is. All right. Ivan Kaprov-Johoslav starts us out with, loved the Flintstones as a kid. So there, Ivan liked the Flintstones. There we go. Now we know somebody liked the Flintstones. Good. Never played the game. Looking forward to hearing the dudes take it on. Or take on it. Greg Polander says, never played it. Looking forward to your coverage. Chris Vanderhoff says, it's an alright game. It's a platformer with memorization type game. Not a gem. Ugh. And I wouldn't say garbage. Probably on the border of garbage and good. Whining in the good territory.
I would almost agree with that if it wasn't so traitorous.
If it wasn't so filled with obscenities. Jeremy Sharp says, I picked this up a couple weeks ago. Nice. And actually, I really like it. Never played it before, but I was pleasantly surprised how much I enjoy it. Nice pick, dude, Gail. I love the artwork on the label, too. When I go through my collection, this one stands out in a crowd. It does have good artwork.
It does have really good artwork. I'll give it that for sure. And the manual looks good, too. Really good.
Mm-hmm. Timmy Mack says, is this Timmy?
Timmy?
Is this the Timmy?
What? Who's Timmy?
Isn't that the guy who called in?
Oh, yeah, Timmy. Maybe it is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we need a good call from Timmy again.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, Timmy. I wonder if he's still a listener. I don't know. I guess we'll find out. Timmy Mack, are you the Timmy that we know and love?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Timmy Mack, a friend of mine, had this growing up. I remember it being a fun platformer. Going to look into picking it up for my collection. Andrew Zeismer said, Paul Basciglia and I played it earlier this year on the channel. It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't great. The one standout thing was the cameo of George Jetson near the end, which alluded to Cogswell's Caper, which came a year or so later. Kind of neat.
It's cool. Crossover.
Yeah.
And you, everybody out there, you should go listen to, watch Power Trip Gaming.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You should.
On YouTube. They're great. And they're revamping their everything. I think, I'm not exactly sure what happened. Maybe we can get them to get into it next time we have them on the show. But there's maybe some falling out in the ranks of their thing or something. I don't know. But they got a new logo now. They got a new theme song. They got a new everything.
Yeah.
I don't know what caused it. So next time they're on with us, we may have to get that scoop.
Maybe just time for change.
Could be.
Andrew Code says, I was never much of a Flintstone fan and never played the game. Interested to hear the thoughts of two dudes. It must hold a special place in the heart of Dude Gale to be a Patreon pick. Hopefully we hear that story too. And Ken Kuzmal says, this was at my local Blockbuster Video, but I was never able to rent it. It was always gone and made me think it must be really gosh darn good. I finally found the copy, and it's in my top 10 NES games that I play often. It's fun and amusing. A great gem. Oh, that game. Oh, God. Highly recommend.
We're getting too many people coming, crossing over.
Yeah. Cecil Dredge says, honestly, I've never played this title. But I bet I will enjoy it. We had a Flintstones theme park, Flintstones Bedrock City, Chilliwack, close to me growing up, and I have many fond memories of spending my summer vacation there. Love me some Flintstones. Interested in what the dudes think of this one. Thankful that it is not the other $800 plus NES Flintstones title. I might actually be able to own this title for my collection.
And you sound like the kind of dude that would like this game, actually. As much Flintstonesy things as you claim to have had.
Yeah.
If I were you, I'd give it a shot.
Yep, definitely. And Gail Wilson, who was our Patreon picker says, awesome, can't wait to hear the dudes discuss Flintstones. I played this game heaps growing up and really enjoyed it. I finally brought the game from a rental store when NES games were dirt cheap. Fun platformer, and enjoyed the one-on-one basketball game.
All right.
And that rounds us out.
Sweet. I do have a little bit of feedback on some other places. Twitter, or mm-hmm. Tweeter, as some people call it. I thought I had Twitter stuff.
There you go.
Good pod.
More good right. pod.
Where did that start, by the way? The good pod thing.
Adam Carolla says it whenever there's like silences or things. So I pitch that up from him.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
He probably started it then.
Yeah.
Okay, so Aaron Hickman says, Dudette Gale? And then we said back to him, she preferred dude. Quit stereotyping, bro.
Yeah.
And then Paul and Andy with Power Trip Gaming come back and say, yeah, bro, we're all dudes. We're equals. Mm-hmm. So that germ coming in trying to be a jerk.
Yeah.
All right, just kidding. Just kidding there. Not really. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, you're a jerk. Right,
you're a jerk. Per and Getty Ilium says, this game is kind of cool. Me and my buddy checked it out just lately. The controls are a bit untight. That's the main issue. Untight controls. That was their main issue. Mm-hmm. Which was one of our issues as well. On Google Plus, can you guess who made the comment?
Ryan Ballard.
You're wrong. Sorry, uh-huh. Ryan didn't show up to this one. This one is Dude Vanderhoff. Says, not a bad game, a fun platformer that requires memorization like games from that time required. Not sure if it's worth $15, but if you can find it between 5 and 10, for sure. He didn't say anything about it being a gem on Google Plus. We may just have to start only using his Google Plus feedback.
Yeah.
From henceforth. And I got a question. Have I read any emails lately? Like, how long has it been since I read an email? Because I've got a couple
Couldn't
of
tell.
Emails.
Couldn't tell you.
It's been that long, huh?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Okay, well, let me read these emails. I don't know if I've read them or not. Do you remember an email from Jared?
No.
Okay. He says, hey, dudes, I'm listening to the Zelda episode, and I wanted to shoot you an email today to tell you how much I'm enjoying your opinions. Very objective and fair. Appreciate the way you tackle the game, Jared.
Well, thank you, Jared.
Thank you, Jared. And this one, whether we read it already or not, we should probably just read it every episode because it just gives me the good feels, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This one's from Chris. It says, hey, dudes. I've been a subscriber for a little while, and I really dig the podcast. And the website is great. Because of you guys, I found the Genesis Gems podcast as well. You guys are better, though.
Yes.
Keep it up, dudes.
Go Chris. On.
Go on. I just love that one, you know, mainly just because he just states the obvious that we're better than the Genesis Gems.
Yeah.
I don't have any voicemails today.
Well.
We don't have any new iTunes reviews, which, come on, people. I know we don't mention it, but we are on iTunes, and iTunes is the biggest contributor to the podcasting world right now still. They're losing a foothold a little bit, but they are still the main source, so we need reviews. They've been stagnant for long enough, and there are new listeners who are not reviewing us on iTunes. So go on iTunes, review us. 5 stars only, unless it's a 4-star or a 3-star or 2-star that's really funny.
Yeah.
Or a 1-star that we can make fun of. So.
Yeah.
And we got a new honorary dude.
Uh-oh. I
almost forgot.
Excited.
Okay, so I'm going to throw this up to you. It's Andrew Cutt. But he said he does not go by Andrew, so we can't call him Dude Andrew. So that's out.
Okay.
Other options on the table. Okay. He says that He goes by Drew, so we can call him Dude Drew.
Mm-hmm.
But he also goes by, he has a nickname. It's his it's Drew, D-R-E-W, B-A-C-C-A-W-E. So Drew Bacow.
Drew Bacow.
Oh, like
tobacco.
Tobacco. Drubacco.
Drubacco.
He says it rhymes with Chewbacca, but I'm thinking I like Dude Drubacco.
Yeah, I like Drubacco better.
So unless he just can't stand that, welcome, dude. Welcome to the fold. New honorary dude, yeah. Drubacco. Welcome. All right, so that's... and by the way, we appreciate your Patreon donation that you gave us too. So,
yes.
And I think that's about it. I'd like to shout out the Retro Junkies. Go listen to all the awesome podcasts on the Retro Junkies Network, except for Genesis Gems. Don't listen to them. Right. Listen to other things like Atari 7800 or any one of Willie's myriad of podcasts. Or go to YouTube and watch the No Swear Gamer, perhaps. Just don't listen to Genesis Gems.
Right.
Also, shout out to the Wii Dude. Or the Wii Guy on YouTube. He does stereo mixes of NES tunes, which we put in the podcast every episode.
Mm-hmm.
And shout out to the Fox Dude for the awesome logo. Hope you're doing good out there, Fox Dude. Doing well, I'm sorry. And that's all I've got.
And, you know, a lot of people out there struggling right now. I know that the hurricane hit Houston, and the one that's as we record this, about to hit Florida, pretty much destroyed the Caribbean.
Yeah.
So, some bad times.
I know that there are dudes that listen to this podcast that are affected by those things. I know for a fact. So our thoughts, prayers, hearts go out to you guys.
Yeah.
Sorry for everything.
Yeah, it's awful. So. Anyway.
We mentioned Patreon. You can support us on Patreon. I would say, if you, with all the hurricane nonsense that's going on right now, if you have the, if you only have the option to either support people who are affected by the hurricane or support us, go ahead and support them for now and come back to us later. But if you have the means to do both, then we would gladly accept your Patreon donations at patreon.com/NESDudes.
And you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and you can always call us on, websites, 2dudesinns.com, nintendudes.com, and nesdudes.com. And you can always call us at
775-773-8761. That is 775-7-RETRO-1. It's been a couple weeks since we've had a call. So give us a ring, you know. Go to our mobile website and pull up on there. You'll find a little phone in the upper right corner. That'll be handy, you know, if you want to ever give us a call.
That's right. Very handy.
For those of you who, for some reason, have not programmed us into your phone, I don't know why you wouldn't just program us in and just call us. Anytime you feel like calling anybody. Mm-hmm. Thinking about calling your mom this weekend?
Don't call
that.
Your mom. Don't call your mom.
Don't call your mom. Just call us instead. And I tell you, I'll make you a promise. If you want to program us into your phone and you want a really awesome picture to go with it, I will send you the highest quality photo that I have of either our logo, or I'll take one of myself and send it to you. Or Justin will take one of himself and send it to you. Hey, just send us a message. You may not like the picture that you get, but we'll do it for you.
Yeah,
you
can that's right.
You can put it in your phone.
That is right.
But you got to call us. Otherwise, it's useless. Then you just have a weird picture of us. And you don't want anybody to find that.
Right. Like my child finding a picture of Joe Copen.
That's still one of the funniest stories I can think of that has come out of this podcast.
All right. Until next time.
Until next time. Later.
Bye.